There's always a solution to getting in or growing your self-storage business, even in tough economic times. Let me share with you one I went through. My name is Mark Helm. I'm the author of Creating Wealth Through Self-Storage. And I'm the creator of the Quick Start Academy, which houses the training that I offer the small self-storage investor who wants to get in or who wants to grow their self-storage business. You can find out more about it at creatingwealththroughselfstorage.com and then hit the Quick Start Academy tab. The newest course in the Quick Start Academy is Fundraising for the Small Self-Storage Investor, and you can find out more about it there. But go with me for a second. It's 2007. The economy's going really strong. Early summer. I get up one morning, I'm getting ready to go to work. My commercial real estate profession, I'm shaving and looking in the mirror, and I realize I don't have a retirement set up. I thought I'd be further along than I am. I'm in my early 50s. I thought my parents' estate had basically handled my sister's and my retirement, but I've come to realize it really didn't. And it was up to me. And I had been in the self-storage business, put together a small portfolio of properties. We ended up selling it to a REIT. My investors did really good. I did okay. And then I went about life just earning money. And I realized I need to get serious about creating some wealth here because what I thought was in place wasn't. So I knew self-storage would be the solution for me in 2007, and I started looking for properties. Now, I found this property like many others. An alarm went off in my computer, in my inbox, to let me know something had been there. I had set up an automated system in one of the websites, and a listing automatically showed up in my inbox, and there was nothing to indicate that this would be a property I'd buy. In fact, there was a lot to indicate it probably wasn't one I'd buy. It was 86,000 square feet, 85% occupancy, and it was listed at over $6 million. But I had told myself that any property that's in my target area, I'm going to analyze, look at, and go see. So I called the real estate agent and started asking some questions. And what I found out was it was a father and son team who had developed it a few years earlier. The father was a builder and had this land, and the son had sold a business and had money, and so the son bankrolled the father. And one of the things that I noticed was there was a record storage business in this facility. And when I asked the agent about it, he said, well, why don't you come out for a tour and we'll have the seller meet you there and tell you more about it. Well, what had happened was, as they were going through their lease up, they had some buildings that didn't have the units in them, but the buildings were built. And to basically get income while they were leasing up, they decided to do some record storage. And the son, who was running the facility, really fell in love with the record storage business. He told me if I did my research, I would see the record storage had been growing at about 18% a year, and it was really hard to lose customers because of the perm out fees. Once you get a customer, they're pretty much there with you, and it cost them a lot to get out. And he liked it because it took square foot income, turned it to cubic foot income. And he also said if I didn't like the record storage business, no problems, he would break that off and keep it because he really enjoyed that business. So I went to work analyzing the deal. The economy's still rolling strong. I analyzed the deal and realized that, you know, at a little over $6 million, if what he's telling me is true, I'm basically buying this income on over slightly over an 8 cap. And I wrote an LOI and got the property standing still. So I immediately went to work on my due diligence. My due diligence in this case had three parts to it. It had the due diligence on the property itself, physical and economic. I had to get a loan and I had to raise the equity to do the deal, something I'd done many times before. So I had a father and son that I had done a lot of brokerage with, and they had said they really wanted to do a deal with me, get in and learn the business of self-storage. I'd sold them a self-storage, but they really wanted to be co-sponsors with me, and they had some money to invest. So I said, okay. So I had my partner, my co-sponsor, and they were actually even going to put some money in the deal. And then I had to go out and I had to raise the equity. I knew a family that had sold a office supply business, and there was a father and three or four sons, and they had money to invest. I presented the opportunity to them. They said, we're in. So I had my equity in place from the family. I had my co-sponsor in place. I got a mortgage broker to help me place a CMBS loan. This was a conduit loan, a non-recourse loan, that because I didn't have to do any expansion, I could immediately at that time go to a non-recourse loan, which I worked and got in place. And we validated the numbers, validated the growth in the record storage industry. Then headlines about the housing bubble began to show up. The economy was slowing down. There were headlines about a thing called derivatives. You remember those headlines? Well, 2 weeks before I was to remove my contingencies, I got a call from the family saying that there was a lot of internal squabbling in the family about doing this deal, and just to keep the peace, they were gonna go. So here I am, 2 weeks from removing my contingencies, and all or almost all of my equity is gone. I had to get some partners quick, or I had to get some money quick, and I had no idea how I was gonna do it. This was on a Tuesday. So on a Thursday, I was at a Kentucky Real Estate Exchangers Group. This is a group of commercial real estate agents that get together and basically present property and present opportunities. So a lot of times it's for your own account. Sometimes you're representing a seller. And I was at this exchange group, basically looking around the room thinking who could possibly be a partner in this, when somebody I know started presenting a property. It was a vacant industrial building in a nice industrial park in our city. And what caught my eye, it was $1.2 million and it had no debt on it. And somebody behind me raised their hand and said, who owns the building? And when the agent said that person's name, I raised my hand and I said, I'm a taker for that building, but I need to see the owner today. That was at about 10:15 in the morning. By noon, I was in that guy's office. Who it was a retired CPA. When I first had converted to commercial back in the early 90s, I started calling on for sale by owners to get listings so I could get signs up. And I called on this guy, ended up selling a building of his that he owned. And this was a CPA, but he was retired as a CPA. And really what he did was he just basically bought and sold property, 1031 his proceeds into a larger deal, and he kept doing that. And this was a $1.2 million building. And when I presented my storage opportunity to him, $6.2 million opportunity, and we negotiated a percentage. How it was going to work was I was going to take his building, close on it. He was going to hold a second mortgage for 20%, and I was going to get a 80% first mortgage. And he was going to give me that building for 70 or 80% of the storage facility. And the money I cranked from, or in other words, the refinance proceeds on that building, that was the down payment for the storage facility. So we worked all that out by 1:30 to 2 o'clock that day. He even helped me get the loan for it. Now you might think, well, why would I want an empty industrial building? Well, first of all, because I could borrow against it, and the owner would do a direct 1031 with me and go into my deal, and I could borrow against it, and that was the down payment for the deal. But secondly, I had the father and son team in place. And with the refinance proceeds from that building. I really didn't need their cash in the storage deal. So their cash was going to go in to pay the debt service on that vacant building until we got it rented up. I'm a commercial real estate agent. I can get tenants for that building. Now remember, the economy's starting to change, but for the past however many years, it's been blowing and going. So I was right with the world again. I just needed a few extra weeks extension so I could close on the industrial building. I went to the seller, asked for the extension, and was really surprised at how hard it was to get that. I mean, I was shocked. And ultimately, what I ended up doing was letting my good faith deposit become non-refundable and go to him immediately to get that extension. But I got it. We got the loan. I closed on the industrial building, and that $1 million went in, the refinance proceeds went into an accommodator account, and that was going to be my CPA partner's down payment into the storage facility. Now, it's been said that the key to success in life is how well you implement Plan B. I thought I'd implemented Plan B. But sometimes it's Plan C and Plan D. So the headlines kept getting worse. And I don't know if you remember the end of 2007, beginning of 2008, but I sure do. It seemed like this deal was like at the center of the whole thing. But the headline, Bear Stearns failed. Lehman Brothers failed. Banks just locked up. Everyone was running scared. Now, keep in mind, we had closed on the building. I had $1 million sitting in an accommodator's account ready to close on the storage building. So I'm pushing to close real quick, and I'm trying to set this closing. And I'm calling the mortgage broker. He's hard to get. A couple days go by, no call. Finally, he calls me, and he said something I had never heard before. He said, your funding for your CMBS loan has dried up. It's gone away. Now, I didn't even know that was a thing. I asked him, what does that mean? He said, well, a CMBS loan is basically a Wall Street loan, and Wall Street was at a grinding halt. In fact, CMBS loans, it was 2010 before they came back again. But he said, there's no money to loan you anymore. So there I was, $1 million in an accommodator's account. I own a vacant is the operable word here, industrial building. And I've got to close, and my loan has disappeared. So I didn't know what to do. So I went with my hat in my hand to my CPA partner, told him everything that had happened. And I never will forget what a level, cool head this guy had. He's been a real mentor to me over the years. And he said, look, here's what we got to do. Just first of all, don't lose my $1 million. Secondly, take it a step at a time. Keep your eye on the ball and just do one thing at a time. Do the next right thing so we can move to closing. So the very first thing we had to do was get another extension. And I knew I had so much fun before with the seller of the storage facility, this one was going to be a ball. So I went to the seller and told him what happened. He said, well, thanks a lot. And it took a lot of negotiation. But ultimately what happened was the $1 million in that accommodator's account had to go hard. In other words, he was going to get it. And he gave us 2 months to get some financing. So the CPA partner ultimately agreed to that because he was real confident he could get a loan from his bank. So the $1 million in the accommodator's account became non-refundable, and we had to go get a loan at the end of 2007. And basically we did. Ultimately, we got two loans, one for the record storage, one for the storage facility. Believe it or not, at that time, it was an 80% loan to value. This guy had good banking relations. And we started trying to close the deal, finally. And I thought we were going to close the end of 07, but the bank wanted to see year-end numbers. Then the bank wanted to see January numbers. Then the bank wanted to see mid-February numbers. Now, keep in mind, February 28th, that $1 million goes to the seller of the storage facility. I mean, he hoped we didn't close. February 28th, closing is scheduled. We get a call from the bank. Bank said, yeah, we're on. We're ready to close. Just we're making a change, though. The record storage piece, instead of being a 20-year amortization, we're going to make it a 10-year amortization because it's not real estate. Day of the closing. Day the $1 million was going hard. We closed. So I'm back in the storage business, but it sure isn't how I pictured it. Sometimes it's plan B, plan C, plan D. We kept that project 6 years, 7 years. It was profitable. It didn't generate what I had on the initial 10-year cash flow when I sat in the CPA's office that day and showed him the deal. It didn't hit that number with a $10,000 more a month debt service. But we created a lot of equity. We ended up making a few $1 million profit on the thing. And in many ways, it wasn't anywhere near the best storage deal I've ever done on paper. But in another way, it's one of the deals I'm the most proud of. Now, the times we're in right now is nowhere near the same like chaos and turmoil that there was back in end of 07 and 08. But I've noticed I have a lot of the same feelings I had back then. Feelings of doubt on myself, doubt about the economy. But one thing I learned from that transaction is no matter what comes at me or what comes at us, there's a solution to it. Now, it might not be a typical normal solution that we have, but there's always a solution to every challenge. Every economic landscape offers opportunities, and every opportunity has a solution to every problem that comes up. And I learned that doing that transaction. And here's the takeaway. You have that within you too. I'm reminded of the story of the cows and the buffaloes. So when a storm is approaching on the prairie, cows turn around and run from the storm. And the storm is constantly behind them. The storm's going to move faster than the cattle do. And the cattle are in the storm. They're scared. They're running from it. But they're in the storm a lot longer because they're trying to run away from it. And basically, as the storm moves, they're in it a lot longer. Buffalo, on the other hand, they turn and they charge the storm. They run at the storm. And basically, they run through that storm, and they're not in it anywhere near as long as cattle are. So here's some questions to ask yourself if you're a buffalo. If all banks closed and stopped lending tomorrow, where could I borrow money? If investors quit investing in self-storage, where could I get equity? Sometimes the questions are way more important than the answers, because by focusing on the right question, you're now present to solutions that you would not have even seen before because you weren't even thinking about the questions that would have solutions like that show up. Tony Robbins says, if you want to change your life, change the questions you ask yourself. Hard money loans, joint ventures, having sellers stay in the deal, but remove the risk for them. These are just some of the solutions we're using today. I recommend not just thinking outside the box, but think, how can I enhance everybody's position? What's the solution that would enhance everyone's position, including my own, and still get the deal done? What are some alternative financing solutions? What are some alternative equity solutions? What are some alternative deal structures that we could put in place? I shared that deal with you not so that you would have a specific technique to use, but to show you that there's always a solution to every challenge that comes up. I hope this inspires you to think differently, ask different questions, begin to look at self-storage opportunities in a new light with new possibilities for doing them. And remember, as buffaloes, and if you're watching this video and you've gone this far, you're obviously a buffalo. Buffaloes charge the storms. Take what this market has, use it as fuel, and grow or get in the self-storage business. Thank you very much. I look forward to being with you next week. My name's Mark Helm, and I'm the author of Creating Wealth Through Self-Storage. And I'm the creator of the Storage World Analyzer. That's the financial analysis tool we use that would generate a report that I would show that CPA today. So thank you very much. I look forward to being with you soon. Talk to you later.